Hello everyone, this is Jeremy Lopez, and I'm so glad you decided to join us today on Deep Cough in the Deep. And one of the things on this broadcast is we like to bring forth things that are biblical, scientific, things that you've experienced that no one can deny. And these are things that we all begin to go through on a day-to-day basis. And so in this radio broadcast, we like to be able to bring forth and initiate all the above. Everything that we experience, including the scientific facts that we know that proves God is real and big and awesome, and then things from the scriptures as well. So today I want to talk to you for a little bit about where is God. You know, there's been discussion after discussion throughout the centuries and really throughout the past couple of years about basically how big is God. You know, is God small? Is God big? Is God over there? Is God over here? Is God in me? Is God over there at the church? Is God at the altar? And even though we understand the concept, the Bible talks about that God is omniscient. He's omnipresent. That means that He's everywhere. He's all places at all times, your past, your present, your future. And we understand the understanding of Him being omniscient, which is all-knowing, all-powerful. He knows everything from the beginning to the end, and He knows how your life is going to turn out, even through, you know, your mistakes, so to say. It's still a place where God still knows. Nothing's going to surprise God. Nothing's going to be new to God, because there's nothing new under the sun, the Bible says. And understanding that concept, we have to come to the conclusion and the realization that when we're talking about an eternal, almighty God, we have to remember that even the terminology God can even be a little boxed in. You know, if you think about for so many years, people who take the name of God and abuse it and torment it and say, well, my God says this to me, and my God says this to me, and the Bible says this, and the Bible says that. And it's a place where you can almost just make the word of God of none effect from putting God in every situation you're involved in. Now, even though you might look at that as a charismatic and say, oh, hold on a minute. Whoa, wait a minute. You mean, oh, I want to involve God in everything that I do. Well, folks, not a big surprise to you, or it shouldn't be a big surprise, but God is already involved, intricately involved in everything you do. There's nothing God is not involved in, and I want us to be able to take a moment, let that saturate within your mind, because the Bible says that our footsteps are ordered by the Lord, and that means that what happens is that if you begin to understand that we're like this big fish in this vast, huge ocean, and we're trying to find the ocean, and I've said that before in different sermons of mine, because I wanted people to understand the power of God. That God, when God said He is omniscient and omnipresent, that means that there's nowhere you cannot go without being in God's presence. And I think as Pentecostal, charismatic, even Baptist churches, I think we come to that place where, you know, we always feel as if you want to get God, go to the altar. You know, you're going to find God there. You know, you'll find God at church. You know, and we push the necessity of you've got to be in church. Okay, well, we get that, because the Bible talks about not forsaking the assembling of yourselves. We get that. But we have to understand, what is the concept of telling people that reality of you having to be in church? Well, we have to first of all make it very clear and very plain that you're not going to church to find God. Okay? Because God is not a God that can be found. Now, when I say that to you, I want you to hear me very closely when I say this to you. God is not a God that can be found, because God is not lost. The only thing, the only reason why you try to find something is because it's lost. God is not the one lost. And in reality, folks, you are not the one lost. But yet, consciously, you have lost the revelation or not awakened to the reality that you are a fish in the ocean of God. Which means that even David, you know, David had his faults, you know, in the Bible. We read from Psalms to so many other books and chapters of David's really dysfunctional, fragmented, tortured life, you know, for lack of better words. And this man, once again, was a man after God's own heart, which I want to be able to express very strong to you to make you understand that God is not as fragile that you think He is. God is not over there, nor is He over here. God is not one that turns His back on you so easy as you have been taught by fear-based crooked preachers, no offense, but it's true, by people who are trying to fear-base your life and put fear within your relationship with God, which is such an anti-Christ mentality, because God doesn't want us to be able to come to that place where there's such a fear fear in our relationship with God. And I think sometimes that fear could come in by, I need to go to church Sunday. I need to get in my prayer closet right now. I need to make sure I get with a prayer partner right now. And the thing about these things are, they're not bad things to go to church. By far, it's not bad to go to church. By far, it's not bad to get in a place of habitation of maybe your sanctuary that you call your prayer closet. And it's not bad to call somebody to say, hey, can you agree with me in prayer right now? Going through a hard time. But you have to have the right mentality. You have to know how to align your mind in the truth, because the truth sets you free. The truth is something that we discover every day of our lives, and we're moving into that vein of truth. No one has the truth, by the way, folks. I'm going to make this very plain to you right now before I continue about where is God. No one on earth right now has the full truth. And if anyone that tells you, I've got the truth, or I know what the Bible says, I'm going to tell you right now, you need to run like crazy. Because I used to be one of those people where I said, well, the Bible says this, and the Bible says that. Well, the truth of the matter is the Bible does say that. But who on earth are you to think that you have the fullness of what that word means in the Aramaic and the very sound from something that came thousands of years ago, but yet you can't even barely remember what happened to you last week at lunch. Hello. And you might have the issue of barely remembering certain things and maybe reading a book or having a conversation, and much less every day of our lives we go through finding ourselves saying, you know, oh, now I know I met you just last week, but what was your name again? Your face looks so familiar. And yet you think that you're going to know the fullness of the truth when you just read it for face value. I mean, folks, here's the reality. First and foremost, we have to understand we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will, contrary to charismatic belief, the Holy Spirit will begin to bring different terminologies and definitions to people to meet them where they are on their journey of life and let them see the revelation of how they need to see it from the Word of God that will set them free in that now moment. The reality of life is every moment that we live in the now moment, since everyone is authentic and original and has this amazing unique thumbprint and pattern in DNA, that means no two people will ever think the same. No two people will ever be on the same quote-unquote path dealing with the exact same, being equal in nature of step one, step two, step three of how they feel and sense and know God. It's impossible. And even if it were possible, God would mess it up, just like he did with the Tower of Babel, to say, look, if you think you're going to join together and try to figure me out and try to, you know, build a tower to the heaven, you got another thing coming. It's not going to happen. And that's why God deliberately will cause us to see by the Spirit of God that leads us into all truth and will bring things back to our remembrance. We'll begin to bring a great discovery to you to see things in the Bible the way you need to see them according to your lifestyle. And by the way, folks, contrary to popular belief, lifestyle doesn't have to deal with gay people. Lifestyle is a style that, guess what, folks, I have and you have. For me to say, hey, Jeremy has a lifestyle, well, guess what, folks? If I didn't, I'd be in the grave 6 feet under. And you have a lifestyle, and your mom has a lifestyle, and your dad has a lifestyle. Sort of reminds you of the old thing of Oprah on her TV show, you know, and you get a car, and you get a car. Because guess what, folks? You have a lifestyle, and your parents have a lifestyle, and your mate has a lifestyle, your children has a lifestyle. Lifestyle is a word that we have abused to beat up people. Lifestyle is the word that every one of us has, which means the style of your life is originated and fabricated and formulated according to your paradigm, your beliefs of what it is of your upbringing. You've heard me say this before. It deals with the fact of the matter of how you perceive God, how you grab a hold of revelation, how you see Scripture, how you approach God, how God approaches you. Hello. How you pray. I mean, your life is going to be formulated by you and God. Okay, so therefore, when we're talking about where is God, we have to understand that God is everywhere in all things. The Bible says in Colossians, and I say it all the time, God is in all, through all, and as all, which means God is in every single thing. Now, why don't we preach that in charismatic churches? Why don't we preach it in Baptist churches? Why don't we preach it in Methodist churches? Now, some Methodist churches actually do. Very few others that I mentioned very rarely do, because they don't want to bring forth the truth to set set us free, and the reality of if God says He is in all things, then there's no trying to explain that. That means God is in all things. Now, once again, we have to realize that it's not something of misunderstanding of the Scripture. It's not something we have to, you know, dissect in the sense of understanding, like I said earlier, about the Aramaic and everything. We have to realize that even without the Bible, even if you took the Quran, the Quran, the Bible, if you took all the manuscripts in Buddhism, if you took everything from every religion on earth and you threw it all in the garbage, not that we should in the Bible, but if we took everything and threw it all in the garbage, then the truth of the matter is, when we understand the terminology of God, we have to understand that in order for something, someone, some it, some mass, some energy, some father, some mother, some whatever, in order for you to take the title of God, all humanity, not lacking in any one person, all humanity understands the concept and knows you cannot be God if you are not God in all things. If you're not God that created everything, that means everything that was created was made by Him. The Bible says this, it was made by Him and for Him. And without Him, there was not anything made that was made. Which means in order for you to take the title of God, you have to be in all things. You have to be right here, in me, through me, and as me. Because if not, you cannot, you're not licensed or qualified or deputized to take the title of God. And when we begin to get in churches and we begin to present fear-based messages that deal with a gospel that God is here, God is there, God is just with us four, no more, God is in this, God is in that, then folks, here's the reality. You know, then you can't be God. And we begin to bring that to the people, what we're doing is we're birthing forth, and I'm going to say the word amazing in a negative way, we're birthing forth an amazing fear-based merchandising business. Because, and you know, I say, well, how is that merchandising and calling you know what ministry is business? Easy. Because if I can convince you that God is found at my church, because the power of God is moving and we're seeing signs, wonders, and miracles, and you need to come to our church right now, and if I tell you things such as the step one, step two, step three, this is how you get set up by God to be able to be in God and this stuff and that stuff. When you begin to understand those concepts, you realize what a twisted, disgusting, I'll be honest, a disgusting gospel we've presented. Because it makes for great business techniques. Because let's just face it, in the world, what do we say? From Walmart to Target to Radio Shack to anyone, anywhere on earth that you go in a business, what are they going to do? They're going to push the agenda, you need to come here. We've got the best deals, we've got the best this, we've got the best that, we have the best prices. And this weekend, we've got 50% off. And car dealerships this weekend, you can come and no money down, no this, no that, you know. We can take furniture stores, come to our store, because what happens is when you give your furniture, it'll be interest-free for the next 2 years. And so the reality of that is, folks, that's business. Business people do that. And it's a type of fear to make you understand, I don't need to shop around anywhere else because they say they have the best deal. They say they have the truth of what I'm looking for, and I can get it for best deal. Guess what, folks? Churches do the exact same thing. Preachers do the exact same thing. Anytime that you find a structure of somebody saying that type of reality, you need to look behind the scenes. You look behind the scenes and realize all that is, it's a business making deal. That's all it is. It's a business making concept to get you locked into me, locked into our church, locked into our ministry, locked into this, because we have God, and come down here, God is doing some great things. Now, is God doing great things in churches? Absolutely He is. And we need to make sure that we are applauding what God is doing. But the reality of it is, folks, you have to be careful when you tell people, especially sheep, the idea that that God is here, God is moving here, because the reality of that is, you need to make it very plain, and God is also moving there and there and there, and he's moving in you, he's moving through you, he's moving around you, and he's moving as you. Because the truth of the matter is, that's what the Scriptures discuss with us and talk about. And once again, because you cannot be God if you are not God of all things. You just can't be. You cannot have the entitlement of God if you cannot be God. And therefore, we have to be very careful in ministry, because what's happening is, I'm a life coach. much, folks. I'm a minister. I'm moving the prophetic as a prophet. I'm a life coach. I do all these things for the kingdom of God. But on the other hand, though, I am a human being that has a part of me that is, well, the full me, hopefully, is integrity and excellence, which means I would rather tell you the truth. And if there's sometimes I might sound like I'm playing the devil's advocate to certain things within the charismatic move or within people in general, it has nothing to do with, by far, but bashing people. By far, we love people. I'm a huge grace person, more than many of you know that listen to me on this broadcast. But on the other hand, though, we have to be able to look into the concepts and the structure of how a lot of these ministries and different things throughout the earth are structured to understand, is this really the truth? And how is it going to reflect in me when I wake up in the morning and I find myself in fear, crying my eyes out, begging God to forgive me? Please, God, you're not around me. I don't feel your presence around me in my room. How many of you right now, and I know there's thousands of you that listen to our broadcast, how many of you right now has felt that at least once in your life? God, where are you? How come I don't feel you? I don't sense you. You're not around me. And guess what you do? You'll turn on the television, or you'll turn on the radio, you'll turn on a teaching, and basically instead of a commercial, because what's going to happen is they're going to begin to rave about the fact that God is moving here where I am or where they are. And so what's going to happen is you're going to be just like the person watching the commercial, looking for television to go to that place to get your television. And the truth of the matter is, guess what? And why is that? Because somewhere before time, somewhere before that day, someone embedded in your spirit that God is here. And guess what you're doing? You're still finding that same old paradigm, and you're still bringing that paradigm back to life, because all the time, throughout the day and throughout the week, you find yourself alone, and you wonder where God is. And therefore, you will attach yourself automatically to anyone or anything that you can to bring that feeling, to bring that pleasure, to bring that passion back there to feel that there's a God. No wonder my God says we don't go by what we see or feel. Folks, if you never feel God, it doesn't matter. God is not just in you. I love, you know, and many of you, and I'm going to be honest with you, many of you need to read some books, some really good books outside of the charismatic move. There are some powerful, powerful books in the charismatic move. I wrote a lot of them myself, I hope. But a lot of people have a lot of amazing, powerful revelations outside the charismatic move. And if you're not careful, you can be labeled really a cult. Because if you are the only one, if you find yourself moving and reading just charismatic things, I'm sorry, folks, you are in a cult. You are in a major cult, and I would say run as fast as you can. Because you've got to be learned to be well-rounded. You have to be grounded in other people's thinking, their creativeness of how they're seeing God, how they're viewing God, to hear what God is saying to them. And contrary to popular belief, God is speaking outside of charismaticism, okay? He's speaking out of charismaticism. He's speaking out of Pentecostalism. He's moving throughout the earth. That's when the Bible says, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. All doesn't mean some. It doesn't mean the righteous. It means all. And it doesn't even say spirit. It says flesh, which means God's going to find the lowest, if I can say it that way, within the human body, to say, I'm going to pour my spirit upon the lowest aspect of who you are, which would be flesh. So God is letting you know, I'm doing something that's not even spreading myself throughout the earth. I am the earth. I am the one in the atmosphere. I am the atmosphere. I am the air you breathe. I am around you, in you, through you, and as you. Therefore, you don't have to run after me in the sense of trying to discover me, because I'm already there. I'm in you, and I'm around you, and I'm through you. Now, do scriptures allude to the fact of run to the high tower of God and find safety? Absolutely. Does it talk about seek and you shall find? Absolutely. It's not meaning that you actually are finding God. God is not in a hide and go seek mentality. And I think that's where the church has been deceived, is we've been letting people know, you know, that this is a hide and go seek mentality. Or Marco Polo. You know, Marco and God yelling Polo, and you're running over here. Marco, and he's yelling Polo, and you're running over there trying to find him and tag him, so to say. That's not what the scriptures are dealing with. The scriptures have nothing to do with you trying to find God. And these verses that the Bible brings out, and I wish I had time to bring in the Aramaic here, but I don't for lack of times in our broadcast. But I want you to understand that the scriptures do not allude to the fact that you're finding God. when you hear these verses running into, crossing the finish line, seeking, asking, you know, the knocking, these scriptures are not dealing with the fact that God is saying, sorry, I can't hear you, I'm too far away from you, scream Marco a little louder. No, no. What He's letting you know is He wants your heart to always be awakened to seeing what lies before you. Seeking is not even, if you study the Aramaic, you'll find that seeking is not an outward expression, it's an inward expression. So when you say, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, seeking is not even an outward expression, it's an inward expression, which lines, once again, line upon line, precept on precept, which lines up with the fact that the kingdom of God is within inside of you. So this seeking is the fact that you already have God in you. You already have God in you. So therefore, all I have to do is look on the inside of me if I want to discover the answer. All I have to do is look on the inside of me and I'll discover exactly what I'm looking for. My solution, I already have. The solution of my life, I already possess. And anytime I seek outwardly, I begin to basically come against the very expression of realizing that He's God. And I'm trying to find something else outside of God if I'm seeking outwardly, because God is in all things, the Bible says. Therefore, if I seek outwardly, then I have a misconception of who God is. Now, when I talk about prophetic prophecy and different things, do I express to many people, you know, God speaks to you, you have this still small voice in you, and it's also good to hear a prophetic voice on the outside of you from maybe a prophetic person, you know, sort of help bring the aligning and the confirmation in your life? Absolutely I do. But that has nothing to do with finding God. When you're dealing with confirmation, witnesses, and everything else, you're dealing with people who can maybe bear forth that same expression within the situation you're involved in to help confirm, to say, hey, good, that makes me feel a little better because I got a little, you're saying what I've been hearing too, and that helps you out. But when you're dealing with God, folks, don't go out there and try to find God. You don't have to find God. God is in you right now. When you wake up in the morning, so you don't feel God. God is moving in you. Here's what Richard Rohr once said. Many of you might like, oh wow, you mean you read books by Richard Rohr? Sure do. I read books by everybody. Oh man, that means you're this, you believe this, you believe that. And you know what? Here's the thing. It's the human, it is the, I'm going to use it this way. It is the demonic side of a human to automatically label and assume something just because you're involved in it, you're friends with somebody that is something like that, or you're reading something that maybe is outside of your own box. It's just the demonic side. I'm gonna say the demonic side of a human to feel that way. Because you got to instantly find the comfort and the strength in your labeling just because somebody else reads something. And I'm gonna tell you folks, it's not only judging, it's wrong. Completely wrong. And if you want to bring speculation to people by saying, ooh, they're reading this book, they must be New Age. They're reading this book, they must be Universalist. They're reading this book, they must... If you want to label and bring the assumptions in, let me ask you an honest question. How do you think God feels about that? How would you feel if someone did that to you? Oh, wear the shoe on the other foot now, doesn't it? It's hard, is it not? It hurts. And that's why I'm saying, let people be expressive and how they need to be expressive. Let people begin to explore just like you're exploring. Give people grace, because I'm going to tell you something, folks. We're at a place in life where we need to expand the borders of our imagination. And we need to dive in education and in wisdom to begin to understand that God is so much bigger and so much greater. God is not charismatic. God is not Baptist. God is not even a Christian. Hello. God is not even a Christian. God is God, which means God is speaking and God is moving and God is impressing and He's expressing and everything else throughout humanity. And there are times in my life when I've been down, I've been out, and I couldn't maybe... I was maybe depressed or whatever in my life, or just maybe didn't feel like I had the answer, or maybe I was going through a problem, or maybe I was rejected, or whatever it was. And you know what happened? I might find a principle out there that somebody had on a t-shirt walking by, a principle by Gandhi, or a principle by Mother Teresa, or a principle by the Dalai Lama, or a principle by, you know, of something. Or maybe someone walked around with a scripture on the shirt of a Bible scripture, maybe 2 Peter or something. And whatever it was on those t-shirts would set me free to realize, wow, that is so true. That's a powerful principle. And many of you right now are gasping, probably, you know, trying to find your next breath because, oh my God, you mean you were blessed by a principle that Gandhi actually said? Sure was. You know why? Because principle is universal, which means God can speak through people and have creative ideas. You know? And God can speak through anybody and give them a principle that can set people free. Are you with me? And so when you have to understand that, you realize God is bigger, folks, than you think He is. And because of that, we've got to quit seeking God, trying to find God. You don't need to find God. You need to seek God inwardly and realize there's an amazing, powerful Savior on the inside of you. Amazing, powerful Christ on the inside of you that is wanting you to talk to you, that is wanting to talk to you and have you talk back to Him and begin to understand and hear what it is that God wants to fill you full with of great wisdom and knowledge. You know, the Bible says, oh, magnify the Lord. That means God wants you to make Him bigger in consciousness, not outwardly. You can't make God bigger. God is not big. You know, people used to say, God's a big God. No, God is actually not big at all. God is not small at all. God has no measurements, no boundaries. God is just God. In fact, it's almost like in the Jewish custom, they couldn't even say the name God, you know, Yahweh. They couldn't even say that because they didn't want to define Him or label Him or attach anything to Him. That's why He had so many names in the Old Testament, because they understood the concept. He's so much bigger and greater. We can't even utter his name. Therefore, through all of that, we have to understand that God is letting you know, you're in me. I'm in you. So all you've got to do is understand that when you wake up in the morning, you're in God. You don't have to prepare yourself to get in God. You don't have to get ready to get in God. You have to open your eyes and all of a sudden awaken to the now moment to realize, I am. I am in Him right now. I am. I am. One of the things Richard Rohr, I brought this earlier, one of the points that Richard Rohr brought up a number of years ago in one of his books was something powerful. And one of the things he said was very interesting to me. And he said, God is in the proton, neutron, and electron, because God is the proton, God is the electron, and God is the neutron. And when you think of protons, electrons, and neutrons, you think of, oh, hold on a minute, wait a minute, you know, sounds like science to me. Well, folks, the whole universe is made up of energy. And contrary to popular belief, your body is made up of energy. You are an energy field. You are. Not New Age. Come on, folks. I'm so tired of immature people. You know, grow up in this situation. You are energy. You are light. That's just facts and facts. If you don't like that, if you worship the Bible, like you shouldn't, because you should worship God, but if you happen to worship the Bible and you want a scripture, the Bible says that you are the light of the world. Energy equals light. Light equals energy. So see, God said it before science ever discovered it. So you are energy, you are light. So therefore, when you understand that, you realize that energy is made up of that electrons, protons, and neutrons. And when you see it from that angle, you realize God is that electron. God is that proton, and God is that neutron. Which means even behind the scenes of the structure of your body, it's not as if there's some spirit or some ghost that sort of overshadows your body. Folks, I have news for you. The very molecules that you're made of is actually the God DNA. And so God is not moving upon you, so to say. And we read some of these things in the scriptures, and we have to understand the truth of the matter is, God, when God says He's moved upon Mary, it doesn't necessarily mean that Mary is outside of God, because you can never, nothing in the entire universe is outside of God. If anything was outside of God, it cannot exist. It would be a nothingness. And whatever that nothingness is, it would be the nothingness of the nothingness. So therefore, if you see it from that angle, then you come to the realization that when we read about God moved upon Mary and He overshadowed this thing, when you read about these things, it's letting you know from a human standpoint of view, if God was to get scientific on us in the Bible, folks, I have news for you. We would not understand a word He's saying. We'll probably all set our Bibles aside and say, there is no way. I'm never reading that again. I don't even know what that means. I don't know what that says. And yet all these thousands of years later, scientists just now discovering the whole concept of the God theory, of the God DNA, how energy and light and all these different things, and how there's a sound in the universe that when we put it in these ultrasonics, these sound, you know, in the universe we hear sound waves. And folks, that's the sound of God. And so you have to understand and realize that when God says He's hovered or overshadowed Mary or other people in the Bible, folks, that's His way to get across to us that God is upon that person. But if you look behind the scenes, folks, you'll find out it doesn't mean God is actually on the person. It means God is the molecules of that person. God is the electron. the proton, the neutron. God is the energy and the light. God is Father to us, and He's a friend to us. He's a warrior, a protector, a comforter. He's a lion, He's a lamb, and He's also that energy, and He's also that proton. And if many people think, for example, you can attach those names to God, then you don't know the God I serve. Then you're saying God is outside of science, and God is outside of the very molecules in which He created. There's no way humanly possible for God to ever be outside of what He created. Hello. It's humanly possible. It is not of the truth of the matter. Let's put it this way. There's no truth in saying God is outside the very thing He created. What God creates, God breathed into, and He will breathe back in Himself again. God is involved in what He created. It is part of the masterpiece of God. Therefore, you have to come to the realization and understanding that, you know what, the whole time you've been trying to find God, God is saying, I am in the molecules in which your body is even structured and make up. I'm the one that rejuvenates your cells of your skin that shifts daily when your old skin begins to shed off and you begin to get new skin. I'm in the cells of your liver and your kidneys. I'm in the cells of your stomach, the lining of your stomach that you get every so often. Did you know that you even do that, folks? Because behold, I do a new thing. Everything that God does, God's in those molecules, and He's always speaking, let there be a new lining, let there be new skin. God is always in the shifting of shifting the old and making the new, because it's God. And if you see it that way, you understand, you know what, when you feel as if one time in your life that, you know, I don't feel like God is anywhere near me, I want you to go back and listen to this broadcast, and I want you to throw away all your fear-based teachings of people that are trying to tell you from a business commercial standpoint of view as if they're trying to sell God and you know, to come to their church or whatever. And I get it. We love them. We bless them. Do we not? Praise God for that. But you need to get rid of anything fear-based that would elude you towards the mentality that you are separated from God Almighty. All right? So that's your homework for this week. So thank you so much again, folks, for tuning into our broadcast. We bless you. We love you. If there's anything we can do for you guys, please let us know. Email us. Contact us at customerservice@identitynetwork.net. We would love to hear your feedback, your comments, your wows, your oohs, or your ahs. Okay? So let us know. God bless you. Have a great day.